Well, as I say, we're kind of summer is here, isn't it? It's not gone. It's coming back. It's still nice and warm. And the lectionary in the summer takes us on a journey through Romans. I must admit, I'm not a lectionary aficionado. Most of the churches I've been involved in have not really stuck to the lectionary that much, apart from on the big events. But I do recall last summer, Romans, but a bit later on. But we're kind of in the early part of Romans, and Romans is such a rich letter from Paul that there's going to be a lot to go into, hopefully, over the coming weeks and months. It's an interesting letter that Paul wrote because it was written to not to a church that he planted. Often letters like the Corinthians or the Ephesians were written to churches that Paul had planted, and therefore he knew the people very personally there. He often knew the characters that were involved and the problems that were going on, and so he was able to speak into that. We're never quite sure what exactly the problems were because we only have one side of the discussion, but commentators are not slow in trying to come up with exactly what was going on. But for the Roman church, this had been planted in Rome by another group of people, presumably that had gone out and been sent out. Maybe they had learned from Paul at some point. So it's very systematic. He's got, what one writer sort of puts it this way, there's kind of three focuses in the book of Romans for Paul. The first is a missionary focus. He wants to encourage them to support his mission, and his eventual plan is to go on from Rome along the Mediterranean to Spain. We suspect that he never quite made it there, but that's one of his focuses in this letter. The second is an apologetic focus. He wants to lay out the gospel as he sees it and encourage the people there to understand it in that way. And the third is a pastoral focus, as comes through many of his letters. He wants to try and help them to sort out any divisions or disagreements within them. Whether he knows what's going on there, we're not sure. Whether he just assumes that, as he's seen in all the other churches he's planted, there's often a conflict between different groups and different understandings. And so he's kind of wrestling with all that as he writes. But I was particularly drawn today, and I suppose, yeah, so I'm going to focus on that Romans passage mainly, although I'll draw on what Jesus has given us in Matthew as well. Again, another rich passage with a lot to grapple with. But I was particularly drawn, I'm just going to move that piece back in here, by his focus on baptism. Paul doesn't go into baptism very much, particularly when he doesn't want people to see his baptism as being more important than others. The important thing is for those that have been baptised, that they understand what's going on. And that seems to be what he's teasing out here. And he uses the kind of threefold outward signs of baptism to describe what's going on. But first of all, I wonder, does anyone here remember their own baptism? Have we got anyone who was... Riette, you remember yours?
I was baptized.
So you were baptized as an adult, and you were baptized as a teenager. So it's interesting, isn't it? For you two guys, you were kind of there, and I guess you remember all that. Was it in the... Whereabouts was it, Pam? Was it in a church?
It's a Baptist church.
A Baptist church. So was it a full immersion? How about you, Riette? Was yours a kind of... Full immersion, yeah. Was that in the sea somewhere? Or?
No, in the
baptistry. In the baptistry. Right, fantastic. I know actually at Camford, the church where I did my curacy, there's a group of people who I think some of them are affirming their baptism and some are being baptised today in the river next to the church there. So hopefully it'll be warm enough for them. I was involved in one kind of river baptism. They've got I know it's quite dangerous there, but there's a bit that's shallow in it. They don't get kind of swept away in the current. But for most of us, we don't remember our baptism, do we? What a shame. Well, in a way, I'm not against infant baptism. I think it's a great way of welcoming the family and for our family to kind of come and set that marker down and say we feel part of the Church of God, even if we don't see them very often. But it's the first call that's put on our lives, and I've been reflecting on that this week. As I've been to this licensing and the LPA commissioning, I thought that's... People are being brought into a new calling there, but actually, the first and foremost call for all of us is our baptismal call and the promises that happened on that day. For many of us, as I say, we perhaps don't remember. But then, when Paul talks about baptism, we're kind of smart a little bit when he goes in about, do you not know that all of us who have been baptised into Christ Jesus were baptised into his death? And I think this is where he used the threefold outward signs. And particularly it would have been, I guess, in foremost in the Roman church, who probably would have been baptised as adults, whole families probably, we read in the New Testament. There's the kind of plunge into the water, and then the pause, and then the coming back upright. And those three actions mirror Christ dying, being buried from Friday to Sunday, and then rising again. And in that is a parallel of our spiritual journey. We die to sin and self, and then we are buried. We're burying the old way of being, and then rising to newness, rising to the newness of life. My translation here puts it, we don't quite get that in the NIV, but I love that phrase, the newness of life, the Holy Spirit life. And as I thought about how to kind of illustrate that in just a small way, I thought it's a little bit like when we realise it's time to buy a new pair of shoes. I don't know if anyone's been through that recently. And you kind of go along thinking, well, these are all right. They're starting to wear out a bit. And then you get to the shop and you try on the new ones and they're a bit uncomfortable, aren't they? A little bit stiff, and, unless you've got them made to measure, I suppose. And finally you decide which ones you want, and they don't feel quite at home yet, do they? They don't feel quite as comfortable as your old ones. And then you get that choice. Do you want to go out of the shop in your new ones, or do you want to put on the old ones? I've got my prop, you know, I like to bring some. And you're kind of looking there thinking, shall I put my old ones back on? And compared with the new ones, they do start to look a little bit tatty. But these new ones, you know, I might end up with blisters and all sorts. And you have that decision to make. And then you take them home. And, you know, if you're like me, I don't tend to throw shoes away straight away, just in case the new ones don't work out. And so they're there in the cupboard, and you're kind of thinking, in the next day, well, do I want to put on my new ones that are going to be a bit uncomfortable, even though they might look smart? Do I kind of go back to the old ones? And that's a little bit what I think. I see this kind of journey from the old to the new, choosing who we're servants and slaves to. I'll put those there just to... They're not too bad. We've got far enough away. There's a choice that needs to be made when we follow Christ, when we choose to follow him. It's a daily choice of obedience. Although Paul talks about the death of sin, I think, and we'll look at this perhaps later on in the summer, it's not so much that sin disappears, but that it's pull on us. One writer puts it this way, he says it's not the power of sin that dies, but it's the guilt of sin that dies through what Jesus did. And we'll talk about that more as we go on. But particularly linked in with that baptism, a choice to follow Christ, it's a choice. And we talk about freedom sometimes. You think, well, it's either, you know, slave to sin or we step into freedom. Actually, it's a freedom from sin, but a freedom to follow Christ. So there's still a servanthood for us to uphold. But we're just choosing who we're serving. Are we serving sin or are we serving God? Are we serving the temptations of sin that we get drawn into daily, I guess, to get angry when someone, you know, cuts us up in the supermarket or in the swimming pool or out on the roads, to moan about something that's happening, to lust after something or someone, to be greedy for what we've got. All those temptations of sin can trap us in. Whereas following Christ is much more about following him, and as Jesus said, taking our cross daily. It's a sacrificial servanthood. We give up our desires and wants and ask him to guide us and lead us. And that's the baptism promise and call. We might not remember it, but I thought I'd read it out today. So I grabbed an old baptism card. And I thought, yeah, there's one particular point that I wanted to draw out. And it's the point where the child or the adult is signed with the cross. As Jesus said, we've got to take up our cross, and it's a reminder. I guess, as I say, many of us won't remember that, but I love to do that, and talk about how important it is. I get my baptismal oil that's been blessed in the by the bishop in the cathedral, and then dip my thumb in and just put that cross on the forehead of whoever it is that's being baptised, and use these words. Christ claims you for his own. Receive the sign of his cross. Do not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified. And then the bit that the whole congregation join in with. Fight valiantly as a disciple of Christ against sin, the world and the devil, and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life. That's the prayer and the promise that's been prayed over each one of us when we come to baptism. And what a powerful prayer and promise it is, and one for us to remember each day. I think that's my main focus today. And that's when we take up that promise and that call, then that's when we walk in the newness of life that Paul talks about. As Jesus reminds us, it's not necessarily going to bring us a completely trouble-free life. Certainly not. And we see, certainly in other nations, where those who turn to Christ, it causes all sorts of problems. I think we have to be careful, because that verse about Jesus talking about peace and bringing the sword, we kind of think, but he's the Prince of Peace, isn't he? That the angels herald his arrival by saying this is the one who's going to bring peace. Well, I think what Jesus is drawing on there is the effect of his message is going to cause that trouble. It's not the purpose, but it's the effect. And I'm mindful of those in this world who turn to Christ and are shunned by their family. Perhaps not so much in our country, but it still causes trouble, doesn't it? It's still a step to make, to admit that we know Jesus and we want others to know him. So as we think about that, as we think about our baptismal promise, what I'd love to do today is to give you the option of coming up and renewing your, not necessarily going through the whole baptism service, but just that one part, that signing with the cross. And we won't do it now because we won't be finished by lunchtime, but during the last hymn, and I'll flag it up then, if anyone wants to come, once we finish communion, I'll come down here. I've already tipped off our new LPAs and they're going to come up and be the first volunteers. But if anyone else wants to come during the last hymn, just come up onto the step and I'll just sign you with the cross that I've got the oil here and say that prayer. Christ claimed you for his own. Receive the sign of his cross. Do not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified. And then you can walk back to your seats. Does that sound okay? If you want to, no pressure. And just that one simple prayer. I just think it's, as we're talking about baptism, to think about that prayer, that promise that was prayed over us by those who were with us on that day. Whether we remember it as two of our people do or not, will be good to focus on today. So let's pray now, and then we'll lead into that later.